Do it live!
Holy smokes.
That's shocking when you think about it.
There's nothing you want to look at.
What? Oh, my God.
This is where the fun begins.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here for your 8 o'clock hour on your Wednesday, the 8th of February, with producer Greg, and I'm shocked at a thing that Jason Rantz just sent me that he posted at KTTH.com. Your tax dollars at work, folks. Felons may earn a six-figure salary from Washington, D.O.C., Department of Corrections. The facts are this. There's a thing. The director of person-centered services is a senior-level position with the executive leadership team of Department of Corrections. It will oversee programs to reduce recidivism and help felons reenter society after serving sentences. Why is that? Well, because you're a felon, too. That's why you're only going to be paid $133,044 per year, besides all the very generous state bennies. Like, you know, you're not paying for health insurance, effectively, and all that. But applicants with clean criminal history should be wary before applying, because the Department of Corrections says the ideal candidate is a felon, offering extra points to lawbreakers. So before you hit send on that application, the DOC job application notes that, quote, the ideal candidate is a diligent and ambitious individual with lived experience, and which is the phrase it pays these days, or lived truth.
Isn't that redundant?
Lived experience.
I
have lots of experiences
imply?
that I've never experienced.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. Lived experience as a former incarcerated individual. Not only does it help destigmatize felons, but it also shows the Department of Corrections' commitment to an equitable and inclusive culture that fosters and inspires excellence within the agency. You know what's next is there's this one state that will go unmentioned where they made it illegal to ask if you've ever committed a crime in the interview process. I mean, I think you have a right to know who you're employing. But they made it illegal because it's a stigma. Okay, so you beheaded grandma or whatever, but you did your time. You're out now. I just want a heads up, if you'll pardon the coincidence there, I want a heads up. What have you done in the past? And if you're making up for it, then by all means, if you've been clean since you got out, and all that, then, you know, I'm not going to trust you with the nightly deposits to the bank or something. Not till you earn that trust. But so anyway, there you go. $133,000 per year. If you went to Stanford and you got your dream job at Google Cloud 2 years ago and you've been doing it at home at with your $200,000 salary, and now you're suddenly unemployed, you might want to consider a baby felony. A little class three job on that one, like selling fentanyl to fifth graders. If you even get prosecuted, I'm not sure. So anyway, there's that. Normally this would be 6 a.m. stuff, but it's 8:06, and it's a open source story now. It is a AP story. So the story can, you know, no one, nobody should be stood up and beaten to death by thugs with badges. Okay. It's a shame I even have to get that disclaimer. Okay. That being said, it was rumored amongst Memphis police themselves that the reason it looked so immediately personal and not random, because in the video, there's no probable cause. There's no, left tail light out. There's nothing like that. They just pulled the guy over, and he is absolutely Tyree Nichols, and he's absolutely mystified why he's pulled over. And then they keep beating him and kicking him, and he seems to be complying. And then they attempt to tase him, and at that point, he takes off. They catch up to him. And they stand him up, and they're saying, apparently for the purpose of the body camera, they're saying, comply, comply, comply. And he appears to be complying, but they stand him up, and they punch him in the head with bare fists over and over and over. And the rumor was that one particular officer, Demetrius Haley, His ex-wife, or they were separated, was having an affair with Tyree Nichols, and that the guy knew. He knew the neighborhood that the guy lived in. He knew that their Scorpion unit could pull over anyone and make it up and the whole thing. Well, so the documents released yesterday are saying that Demetrius Haley, in the video, there's a street camera video, and someone seems to be taking flash pictures of the guy, the 29-year-old Tyree Nichols, leaning up against a police car, apparently unconscious. And there's several flash photos taken. Well, that was Demetrius Haley taking pictures of Tyree Nichols' bloodied face and sending them to his separated or divorced wife. That is from an investigation by Memphis PD released yesterday, a scathing account of what authorities called the blatantly unprofessional conduct of five officers. And so that would seem random, but specific now, wouldn't it? Why would he be sending that to the ex-wife? So and that was the other thing, is that they were looking for other patterns of use of force with this particular crew of cops. They couldn't find it. The unit itself had some use of force issues and things like that, but they couldn't find any other time when they got so over the top with any single suspect, either who was arrested or released or whatever. So there's, I'm just saying, there, it appears that there's a preponderance of circumstantial evidence that, it shouldn't affect your judgment on whether or not you get, beaten by a cop. And that's why the parents of Tyree Nichols were in the gallery at the State of the Union last night. But I'll just leave you to your own judgment on that. It doesn't affect my opinion that that should never have happened, and that those guys were acting like a gang with badges. So there's that.
Well, but I think one of the problems in modern culture is we take a singular incident like this and then extrapolate a broader problem.
Yeah.
When what you're pointing out is there's more details yet to be found out here that speak to the uniqueness of what happened here, however atrocious it was. But the problem is, including with the Biden State of the Union last night, he uses this example to say, there's this massive...
Something is broken with policing.
Something's inherently broken with law enforcement.
Yeah.
And I think that's wrong to do.
So did you hear about the break-in at Andrews Air Force Base, where Air Force One and the rest is kept outside of D.C. yesterday?
I'm about to.
The intruder who breached Joint Base Andrews, the home of Air Force One, reached the residence of one of the Air Force's top leaders before her spouse opened fire, the airbase said Tuesday. This is the senior enlisted person in the Air Force, Chief Master Sergeant Joanne Bass. Her husband was at home, and he popped some caps at the breaker-inner. She released a statement saying, "We appreciate the outpouring of support we received after this incident. I can confirm that my husband, Ron, was involved and is safe thanks to the quick response and professionalism of our security forces airmen." The Air Force said on Twitter, a blue check mark, they're verified. A resident discharged a firearm. Security forces arrived on scene to apprehend the intruder, and law enforcement is investigating the incident. And it's, a lot of people don't know this. I have a colleague who, after the Fort Hood shooting, was saying, "Well, see, they can happen anywhere, because this one happened on a military base." You can't walk around with a service weapon, a loaded, M4. And in fact, in most military bases, most Army bases, if you have a personal firearm, it has to be stored with the MPs on base. They're fairly gun-free zones unless you're on the right range or something. And so, but it's a base-by-base thing. And so at Andrews Air Force Base, where the president flies, in Marine One, then he gets on Air Force One, all that, they have a policy that you can have a personal firearm for self-defense in the home and all that. Because that raised a few eyebrows, because I'm not sure what local policy is, but if you're living in barracks or something, you can't store a weapon in there. But if you have a family, if you have post housing, I think you can. Not sure. So guess how many tons of cocaine were found just floating off New Zealand? Over under 3 tons. What do you say?
I'm going with the over this time.
Yeah, I know. You see me coming, don't you? 3.5 tons of yayo, of cocaina, of booger sugar floating in the Pacific. This is apparently a drop-off method that a commercial container ship or whatever will drop a huge shipment of cocaine in a net with flotation devices, and then there'll be ballast. And so it won't be apparent from the surface. It'll look like fishing gear or whatever. But New Zealand authorities have seized more than 3 tons of cocaine that was wrapped into 81 bales and cached at a floating transit point. And this is what they're saying. This is their metric. Worth $315 million. And it's enough cocaine to supply Australia for 1 year or New Zealand for 3 decades. So I don't know if that's like a 5-to-1 ratio or how that works, or a 30-to-1 ratio. And that's if your sheep don't snort the booger sugar. But it was all logoed up and everything. They're saying that in the New Zealand, the Royal New Zealand Navy's Operation Hydros, that either people will smuggle it in or occasionally by air. But they said this is the big one, is that a ship will come from Colombia or somewhere in South America, and there'll be a prearranged drop-off point. They'll GPS mark it, and there you go. But not this time. Take that, cocaine-trafficking swine.
And Brian, there's important breaking news this morning. There's testimony from Twitter's former CLO, Chief Legal Officer.
The breaking news is not that George Santos is a sick puppy?
No.
I don't know the exact words I said. He shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't be look, he's a sick puppy.
But that broke at 8 p.m.
This is a different sick puppy. This is a hearing over the way Twitter handled the 2020 election, and particularly the lead up to it.
At no point did Twitter otherwise prevent tweeting, reporting, discussing, or describing the contents of Mr. Biden's laptop. People could and did talk about the contents of the laptop on Twitter or anywhere else, including other much larger platforms, but they were prevented from sharing the primary documents on Twitter. Still, over the course of that day, it became clear that Twitter had not fully appreciated the impact of that policy on free press and others. As Mr. Dorsey testified before Congress on multiple occasions, Twitter changed its policy within 24 hours and admitted its initial action was wrong. This policy revision immediately allowed people to tweet the original articles with the embedded source materials. Relying on its longstanding practice not to retroactively apply new policies, Twitter informed the New York Post that it could immediately begin tweeting when it deleted the original tweets, which would have freed them to retweet.
Now I'm eating my own tail again. So I don't. What is she saying? She's saying for the first day that news broke, they were pushing down on people that were replicating some of the pictures of Naked Hunter and all that. But then within 24 hours, she claims that they were not suppressing it.
Chose not to delete its original tweets. So Twitter made an exception after 2 weeks to retroactively apply the new policy to the Post tweets. In hindsight, Twitter should have reinstated the Post account immediately.
Harumph.
Does that pass the smell test for you? I mean, basically, it's kind of an admission that they were wrong in the way they handled that.
Yeah, and the claim that, oh, no, but we made up for it by just embracing free speech and all that. And that's, by the way, that's if you're up to speed. That is a Republican-led investigation into Twitter.
Elon.
And
Elon.
So
Elon.
And this is, no, I didn't mean to hit it again. And this is prior to Elon's acquisition of the Twitter. But I mean, there's no doubt they can expand it to Facebook too, and because overwhelmingly, I mean, look at all the people in line for their unemployment checks at Google Cloud. That high tech. You know, millennial industry are people that have been indoctrinated into, you know, liberal thoughts and values and the whole thing. And until they get robbed or buy a house either or pay taxes on that. I know it says $200,000 a year, but you'll want to have a seat. So there is that. This was the laugh line about this is when. I haven't seen the congressman identified, but fentanyl and the border are inextricably linked. Any drug, anything smuggled into this country that kills people or addicts people is inextricably linked to a virtually, as far as the cartels go, unguarded border. And so this is why someone yelled, "It's your fault," when Biden tried to separate the two.
Fentanyl is killing more than 70,000 Americans a year. Big, you got it.
Now, I don't, as I said, Kevin McCarthy said that a whole bunch of Congress people, especially Republicans from Texas and Arizona, were inviting family members who had lost a loved one to fentanyl overdoses. And I don't want to say accidental overdose because that's a bit redundant, but overdoses. And it might have been one of them. But then again, this is the new performance, the new fundraisers to yell back at the president, whether it's Obama or Trump or Biden. But yeah, he addressed the border, then he moves on as if, you know, UFOs are landing and dropping fake Percocet at Woodinville High School or something. And, you know, it is one subject. But the border and fentanyl is the same subject.
Fentanyl is killing more than 70,000 Americans a year.
I mean, it's not in the tap water. Okay, so there's that. Later on today, we'll put up this as I'm a man of my word, as the Joker said. And yesterday I did run up to I-5, the Wallingford encampment, druggie encampment underneath the north end of the Ship Canal Bridge. And the neighbors weren't happy. And just in the time I pull up and the smell of human feces on a windy, rainy day is unmistakable. There is indoor plumbing in Wallingford, very, very expensive houses. Even in some of the houses that are rented to UW students, there's indoor plumbing. And that really sort of narrows it down. And so I turn around and see the express lanes. And I says to myself, I says, "Self, I bet you those drug addicts in those tents might be constipated because they're opioid addicts, and then they have their weekly event right there." And that's what it's not like there's outhouses there. And so I put a video up. No one in the neighborhood wanted to talk. Another phenomenon about that, producer Greg, is there in the video you'll see there's a guy, there's a vagrant underneath the shelter of I-5, but there's still tents there because that's where they do their fenty. But he has a big truck wheel, you know, the steel wheel, not the tire, the wheel, and huge bonfire going right 5 feet away from the express lanes where they start to dip down below I-5, right there. So a neighbor said, "Yeah, we had to move our firewood inside." Why? Well, because they always have fires. When they run out of pallets, stolen pallets from behind Safeway, they come into the neighborhood. These zombies go into the neighborhood at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in Wallingford, and they steal firewood from the side of, you know, $1.5 million 1925 Craftsman houses. And I mean, dystopian doesn't even begin. Never mind Seattle PD. I mean, I don't understand why these neighbors haven't sued Washington Department of Transportation for the public nuisance. If these were cats, you would do that. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. So KTTH, Brian Suits here, and the superb owl. Vegas has it at 50-50. It's a pick'em on Wednesday before the superb owl.
If that's true, that's quite the shift in line because the Eagles started out as like a 3-point favorite.
Yeah.
So the bets are coming in for the Chiefs, I take it.
Yeah, I always just stay away from that game because it's just there's too many wild cards and all thing. But if you're counting on the hot takes of one Michael Irvin on ESPN, well, you're going to be disappointed because ESPN has sent him home. And with the use of surveillance footage in a hotel in Glendale, Arizona. They've sent him home. And so the preface of this, before we do a checking of your texting, is that the Superb Owl and the World Economic Forum have one big thing in common. They are a magnet to very, very high-end prostitutes. And they will habitate in the lobbies of really expensive hotels, such as the kind that ESPN gets for its on-air talent. Okay, that being said, them's just the facts. And Glendale, Arizona, tanky gas from Vegas. So there's that. So apparently he's checking into his hotel, and in the lobby, there is, some would say, an attractive woman. Michael Irvin walks up to her for about a minute on video and then walks away, goes up to his room. A couple hours later, ESPN says, hey, we're moving you out of this hotel. And he said, apparently he said this on, like, Steph and the Bean on 105 The Fan, the Sporting in San Diego. He evidently, some would say, when ESPN said, well, look, he claimed I didn't talk to anyone. And they said, well, here's the video. And so some would say, or it's been said, that it looks like possibly he may have propositioned the individual and that he may have been mistaken. It might have been just a hot woman with cheap makeup.
I know nothing.
So anyway, I can take him or leave him.
While we're on the hot conservative sports take topic, let me give you a multiple choice trivia question as it pertains to events that happened last night. LeBron James, with what type of shot did he break the all-time NBA sports record? Let me give you a multiple choice here.
Donated fall-away jumper.
Yeah!
You didn't even let me do the Jeopardy music or anything.
Looking for James. He's got it. Coming to the end of the third quarter, LeBron James has shot in history. LeBron stands alone. The NBA's all-time scoring record now belongs to LeBron James.
Hey, Chinese slave children making LeBron James kids. Shoes. What do you think? Yeah, there you go. Bad man. He doesn't denounce your government that imprisoned you and takes your kidneys willy-nilly.
And LeBron celebrated by dropping an F-bomb on national TV.
Part of something I've always dreamed about, and I would never, ever, in a million years, dreamt this even better than what it is tonight. So, man, thank you guys.
Keeping it classy.
Yeah, well, he's a father, you know, and the NBA is a family product is what it is. And, you know, that whole thing.
For the children.
So in a checking of your texting, we'll get underway with that. Also, a bill to squash the gigantic SeaTac 2.0 that they're planning either in Pierce County or in bucolic rural Thurston County. More on that coming up. Talking about the zombie people, someone said compare them to the Sleestak from Land of the Lost. But
that reference is totally lost on me.
Yeah. And besides, the Sleestak were fictional. So there is. Okay, so what it was, Brian, this article, there's an article in The Drive, Warzone. More details on the surveillance balloon intercepted over Hawaii last year. The Air Force said it wasn't shot down, but some reported hearing explosions. And the Hawaii Air National Guard flies F-22s and the hang. And so anyway, the Pentagon is going to pants China on this and just reveal everything we know about their entire program, which reveals also that we've known about it. And so the assumption there, and I think it's a good one, is that we knew about it. We knew that, you know, it was fairly crude to send balloons, but we wanted to know, well, what were they looking at? And so I think that, and we're mitigating, you know, because it's a balloon, if there was something projected in the path, I'm fairly certain they would call Missouri and say, hey, get them B-2s back in the hangar because they're nearly 31 years old and we think the Chinese don't know about them or something. But so anyway, there's that.
From the 425 reaction to the State of the Union address, I thought the lowest point in Biden's speech was accusing Republicans of wanting Social Security to sunset Well, 425, I think a lot of members of the GOP agree with you. From the 727, hey, Brian, you beautiful man. Could you please tan yourself up before going on Kennedy next time, asking for a friend?
Huh? I'd love to, but it's February. Do you know where I live?
You don't look that pale to me. I don't know what the 727 is thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. 310, how would they know? However, they're correcting me. Rocket apples are grown in New Zealand and Central Washington and have nothing to do with China. Then mea culpa. I thought I remembered that it said grown in China or something. Anyway, if you've seen them, your kids would love them. They're smaller than a regular apple, and they are really good. And so I apologize to all of Central Washington. And
good morning, China.
Especially concrete. So there's that.
But from Lake Stevens,
not
Lunatic,
New Zealand.
A text came in about me buying new socks on Amazon and my dismay that there was a big sticker on them that said made in China. Greg, even if it says made in the USA, it doesn't mean that the products were sourced from anywhere else other than China. Is that true?
Sometimes if it says like assembled in the USA, that might mean that it's made on Tinian, which you've never heard of, but Google it. That's where the A-bomb B-29s took off from. And it's still in American possession. It was after World War II. We're like, does anyone want this? And it's got like five world-class runways on it. And everyone in the Pacific said, nah, you keep it. So it's America, but labor laws are different there. And the Chinese exploit that by putting, clothing mills and stuff on Tinian, sometimes Guam. And, it is technically assembled in the USA, not made in the USA. And that reminds me, by the way, pro tip. Don't buy clothes on Instagram.
I tried that once. Total disaster.
Oh, it's not what. And, for some reason, Instagram, which is Facebook, right? Yeah.
Meta.
Well, yeah. And that's why I don't go on Facebook anymore. Because it's, directly reporting what URLs I go to, what I click on. If I go to a Cabela's website or the Cabela's website and I click on like a jeans jacket or something, suddenly on Instagram, I'm getting wax canvas trucker jacket, perfect for the weather where you currently live and all that. It's not what shows up. It's not.
I got suckered into one of these pop-up ads one time. It was right around like Mother's Day. And it was like, husbands, wouldn't your wife look great in this? And I thought, oh, my wife would look great in that. Order it. It comes to our doorstep. It's about three sizes too small for my wife. And she's not a large lady, but talk about the worst thing you can do is buy something for your wife and have it be way too small.
Nightmare. When they have to sit there on Amazon and give you that, click on the size chart, and it looks like a Chinese menu. Right. And you're like, well, so wait a minute. If I'm a North America XL, I order XXXL. Folks, try on the clothes at the Costco. Just buy them there. Love from Mount Vernon says, thank you. Please wear undershirts, men. Please. The layered look is so coming back. True. I always do. I don't remember this. Wordsmith Cowboy says, Mark Wahlberg movie. Mark Wahlberg movie Contraband, talking about smuggling drugs in the U.S. I would if they got the idea from that. And then when is Cocaine Shark coming out in theaters nearest near you? So I don't know. That doesn't. I read them unfiltered, folks. That's the entire bit there. Back in the second latest out of the Turkish earthquake and the information we're going to give about the Chinese balloon. And what are the deets? What's about this deal to squash the gigantic four-runway major international airport in Pierce County? I'll give you that when we come back in a final check of the local headlines on AM 770 KTTH. Force. AM 770 KTTH Brian Suits here, and some have described me as a sick puppy, but not Mitt Romney. In some greeting line I met him once. A firm handshake on the young freshman senator out of Utah. But anyway, he thinks George Santos is a sick puppy. And it's our last chance to impress you with our folksy anecdotes and everyday interaction. And let me do this with you right now. If you're in the South Sound, and I know around my neighborhood, there's a lot of no new airport signs. Lately, not my neighborhood, but in a nearby town, there's no sex predators in our neighborhood, please signs. There's a new bill, and it may squash the proposed Pierce County Airport plans. The legislature greenlit a commission to site a new airport back in 2019. Now there's a legislative push to kill the group. But the problem is, nevertheless, just like Joe Biden thinks there's going to be no gas or no need for fuel in 10 years or no need for fossil fuels, 2015 is looming. And there's that. And they're saying that by 2050, that we will have outgrown SeaTac, third runway and everything. So the state put together a commission to seek a new local South Sound location that would build a new airport and would alleviate the expected congestion. So the Commercial Aviation Coordinating Commission, or the CAC, was created by the state legislature. Those who live in that area have been fighting back with signs and then, you know, anger and stuff like that. And so the Pierce County Commission went a step further. They filed a resolution that requests the CAC remove Pierce County sites from the consideration. And right now, the so-called Greenfield sites are not quite sure. This is King County Southeast, fat chance. It looks like it's sort of in Maple Valley-ish or further east. Pierce County East is sort of Eatonville-ish. Pierce County Central is south of Eatonville-ish. And then you have two in Thurston County. And boy, people are not happy about those. And then there's one in Lewis County. And I got to say, if you're not going to, I guess the debate is over, that Everett is just going to be Everett. It's never going to be expanded or a larger airport, even though it's got all the permits and all that. Maybe it geographically just can't. I don't know. But otherwise, what do you do? Have one further away from Seattle in Lewis County? You know, seriously? It would be nice, I guess. I would say this. The one thing supporting a South Sound SeaTac-style airport would be that it's weird, but it's a different weather pattern. It just is. And there's more clear days and all that. And then, it would be nice to make people that work in Olympia suffer like people in Burien do and all that. You know, and we've used it twice. It is easier for me and the varmint to go to Portland, to go to PDX, than to go to SeaTac.
Where do you park down there?
We just steal a car.
Oh, okay.
I've got a friend who lives by Portland State, and they have a garage. And then you take, because Oregon was smart, they let the federal government fund their light rail years and years and years ago. And then when they laid the tracks down, the tracks parallel I-5 and I-84. And then there's a line that goes from downtown Portland right to the middle of PDX, the airport. Right in the middle of it. There's no, you know, stop at the station and then have to find an Uber, which you can't find anyway at SeaTac. None of that crap. You can take their light rail, and they have a police force that keeps the vagrants off and the vomit and the vomitists and all that. And it just is a fairly painless process to fly, out of there. And if there was a bigger airport, you Pierce County people, there's two sites that you were looking at, and those look to be, it looks like at least your county commission is fighting to get them off the table. So you can take your signs off your lawn. The death toll in Turkey, and I heard a very specific thing today, as we're saying on Monday, Monday morning, that the reason that you frequently hear of major disasters when a six hits Iran or Turkey is because they have kind of fast and loose inspection regimes. And I heard a guy talking to the BBC, and he was describing how, as they're looking at some of these, and if you've seen the footage, some of these apartment buildings, an hour after the earthquake, just drop like wedding cakes, like you're sitting on a wedding cake. And they're going through some of the debris, and they're pointing out that some of the weight-bearing structure has very little cement in it. That they're going real fast and loose with the sand to cement ratio, and that these things would have collapsed with a minor earthquake and all this. And this, the initial one, the 7.8, which was followed up 12 hours later by a 7.2, the 7.8 went for 100 seconds.
That is a long time.
A minute and more than a half. 100 seconds of a 7.8. And by the way, just to repeat this, and you can source me on this, building survivability has nothing to do with the building surviving. It has to do with you surviving when it collapses. And it's a different type of tectonic plate issue going on there than is going on here. But the problem here, and I don't want to be that guy who says, oh, 3 days, 3 ways, and start preparing. But, you know, if you know anything about Seattle's history, say 130 years ago, most of downtown is built on mud. It's built on reclaimed land. And there's a thing that happens when you shake it. Like take a kid's bucket of sand, pour water in there, and now start shaking it and see what happens. You know, put a Lego on there. And it's called liquefaction. And it, it disappears. Whatever's on it, you know, disappears. So anyway, if you're in a high rise in Seattle, I'll give you a heads up right before the earthquake hits. There's, you know, it's funny that the Mexican government has a early warning app. And so if there's an earthquake 100 miles away, you get an alert from the seismometer or whatever from the site. So it goes at the speed of light to your app. So what does that buy you? Well, maybe 30 seconds, but I don't know, 30 seconds is better than no time at all. But I mean, you know, like I say, this issue in Turkey, the Turkish people are saying, we keep having these earthquakes. We keep complaining to our government. They keep arresting people or whatever, and it keeps happening. So there's that. The Fred Meyer in Auburn. Fred Meyer in Auburn is the correct answer. We're the single winner to a $754 million Powerball was sold the other night. So Fred Meyer in Auburn. And even though it's as you know, it's as random as a coin toss. If you flip a coin 99 times and it comes up head 99 times, it's still 50-50 the next time you flip it. So watch people avoid that one thinking, well, no, it's not going to be a big one from there again. The terminal has nothing to do with you winning. However, I forgive you because I, like you, am thinking, man, I've driven by that Fred Meyer. I wonder who that guy is. And let's see this. Goodly order. No new breaking news here locally or nationally. The Pentagon, as they say, we'll discuss this further tomorrow. But the Pentagon is going to basically tell what we know about the Chinese surveillance balloon program. And evidently we know way more than, oh, that was a surprise. We never knew that was coming. That cross domain gap that we have. Well, it turns out we know all about the cross domain gap, and we're going to pants the Chinese internationally because some of their own neighbors have realized, hey, that's been happening over Vietnam, over Thailand, and stuff.
Yeah, and this
stuff
was like Biden's only reference to the balloon last night.
I'm committed to work with China where we can advance American interests and benefit the world, but make no mistake about it. As we made clear last week, if China threatens our sovereignty, we will act to protect our country, and we did.
I found him a little squishy on George Santos, so Mitt Romney with a firm line that George Santos is a sick puppy.
I don't know the exact words I said. He shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't be look, he's a sick puppy. He shouldn't be there.
Why did he say to you?
I don't know.
he's a sick puppy?
What do you mean? No, I didn't say that to him then.
You just said you don't belong here.
Yeah.
Why did you want to say that to him?
I didn't expect that he'd be standing there trying to shake hands with every senator and the President of the United States.
So if you see that footage, he looks like a smarmy little, I don't mean Mitt Romney, I mean George Santos is standing there as if, la-di-da, nothing's wrong, I'm not a complete weirdo.
Sir, do you know no shame?
I know, and at long last, sir. And watch, today Mitt Romney will be accused of being anti-trans or something like that. And that's, if you can't see a mile away, that there's something wrong, really wrong, upstairs with George Santos. And you're a sick puppy. All right, you non-sick puppies, we'll be back tomorrow. Join us, won't you, please, for a good old-fashioned Practice Friday, AM 770 KTTH.
I'm not trying to over-dramatize this, but that was alarming.
Big golf, son. All right. Well, see you later.